You're listening to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Spending time in the outdoors can be both relaxing and rejuvenating at the same time. Nature has a way of reminding us that our own problems and challenges are small in comparison to the wonders of the natural world. Hiking is a great way to enjoy outdoors, but women in particular may not feel comfortable going alone. Amanda Galvin is an outreach specialist with REI Co-op, an outdoor recreational equipment supplier. She says that while adventuring alone can be scary, it also can be very rewarding. Amanda Galvin joins us on today's Smart Talk. Ms. Galvin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org on Twitter. We're at smarttalkwitf. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Why hike solo? I mean, what are some of the benefits? What are some of the reasons that you like to hike solo?
Well, I mean, it's always nice to go outside and experience the joys of nature with other people. But when you go by yourself, you get a whole different experience. I kind of grew up wandering around the woods in my backyard. I was always by myself. And it's just kind of how I learned to appreciate nature. The biggest benefits for me, you're able to go where you want to go, when you want to go. You can take breaks whenever you feel like it. When you're in nature by yourself, you're not chit-chatting, so it's a little quieter, so you appreciate the things around you. You might even see more wildlife. That's one of the biggest benefits for me. And also, nobody cares what you look like. You can look like whatever you want. You don't have to put your makeup on. You can go trample through the woods, and it doesn't matter. One of the bigger things for me, too, is just solidifying those outdoor skills that I have. When you're with other people, you tend to rely on them to help you, you know, build a fire or set up your tent. But when you're by yourself, you're kind of responsible for doing that all on your own. So you learn to trust in your skills, and it gives you confidence.
So when you talked about setting up your tent, so you not only hike alone, you camp alone?
I do, yes. I primarily just do it during the day, but there are times that I've gone off by myself and hiked or camped when nobody wanted to come with me. And, you know, I feel like whenever I want to go do something, I should just be able to do it. I shouldn't have to wait for somebody to have time. So I take that upon myself and go out whenever I want to.
One of the first things that people think about when they picture a woman hiking alone, and men to a degree as well, but anyone doing it alone, but women in particular, is whether it's safe or not. Is it safe?
I find it very safe. You know, society and people around you tend to tell you that you shouldn't be going off by yourself as a woman, or even someone from another marginalized group. I just speak as a woman here. But I personally feel a lot safer alone in the backcountry than I do on a city street, per se. The majority of people you meet out on the trails, they're like-minded individuals. Of course, there might be some bad people out there. That's definitely a possibility. But that fear is not going to stop me from living my life and doing what I want to do. And if you look at statistics, the National Park Service and the FBI says the risk of being a victim of in the outdoors is 1,000 times less likely, like in national parks, than they would be in the country as a whole. So you're relatively safe when you go outside by yourself.
Something you said a little bit earlier about why you like to hike on your own, I imagine plays into being safe, and that is confidence. That, I mean, many times I've, you know, heard this, that when you're walking in a city, if you're walking with confidence, you're less likely to be the victim of crime or someone trying to take advantage of you. Are you saying that's the same thing in the woods, in the outdoors?
Well, I think that has a lot to do with it, but it's also just in your preparations as well. Knowing where you are and what kind of exit strategies you have, or just having the right safety gear with you as well. I think that's just really important to feel that confidence. And people will tend to leave you alone, I think.
If you have someone on a trail who asks you if you're alone, what do you say?
Oh, I never tell people that I'm alone. It's really important to not advertise that. So I'll always say, oh no, my group's just up here. They're expecting me anytime, so that somebody, or they think that somebody knows where you are and is expecting you to be there.
Have you had that experience? People asking you?
Yeah. People are always surprised that I'm out there by myself. So I always tell them that I'm not. People take advantage of the situation. And if they think that you're alone, they might act a little bit differently.
I know that I've read some of your blogs that you have some tips for how to hike alone. And, you know, this is, and looking at them, this is not just something that could be for women or for marginalized groups, as you mentioned, but for anyone. What are some of the recommendations, some of the tips that you have for those who are going to hike alone?
The biggest thing when you're hiking alone is you want to make sure that you have those outdoor skills so that you feel confidence. You want to make sure that you maybe go out with other people before and gain those skills. You want to go out with well-trained peers and just ask a lot of questions. If you don't know, find out. Because when you're by yourself, you're not going to have those people to rely on. You can even go to your local state park or outfitter and get a guided hike. And you can ask them the outfitters questions as well. And you also want to make sure that you know your gear really well. You don't want to be setting up your tent or building a fire for the first time when you're out by yourself. You want to make sure that you have those skills and you have confidence, and make sure you test everything out before you go to make sure it's functional.
When you say ask questions, what kind of questions?
Just about maybe wayfinding. If you don't know how to read a map, find out how to do that from your peers. What types of trails you can be on and feel safe by yourself, just things like that.
You also said that if you're going to put up a tent, that you shouldn't do it on your own for the first time. That basically what you're saying is that you should plan, and that maybe you should start off a little bit smaller, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to start your first solo trip hiking the Appalachian Trail. You can start doing it just a quick walk around the block or something like that. I mean, every journey begins with first footstep, right? So you can start just in your local park, just a little hike, someplace maybe you've been before with other people that is familiar to you. Make sure that you're on well-marked trails, and maybe even a popular trail your first time, so that there are other people around in case something were to happen. You want to also make sure that when you're by yourself, you maybe do less mileage than you would when you're with a larger group, because you may be a little bit slower as you stop and look at things, or if you maybe were to get injured, you don't want to be too far out there for your very first time. And a huge thing is to make sure that you're being careful. Injuries can happen. And if you're by yourself, that's the worst time that something like that could happen. So you want to make sure that you're watching where you're stepping and planning every footing carefully.
What about planning? I mentioned planning. What kind of planning goes into it?
Yeah, you definitely want to, like I said, you want to be familiar with the trails that you're on. You want to know your route, the terrain that you're going to be hiking, and the weather, and maybe any wildlife that's going to be around. And it doesn't hurt to always bring your 10 essentials. If you don't know what the 10 essentials are, you want to have navigation, so a map and compass, or even your GPS on your cell phone, as long as your cell phone is fully charged. You want to bring a headlamp with you, so you have some sort of light in case you're out later than you expect. Sun protection, such as a long sleeve sun shirt, sunscreen, eyeglasses. You want to have a first aid kit just in case there is an injury. You want to be prepared for that type of thing. You want to have a knife, a way to start a fire, some sort of shelter, even if it's just another rain jacket or something like that. You want to make sure you have enough food for the trail that you're planning on going, and maybe a little bit extra just in case you're stuck out there longer than you expect. You want to bring plenty of water and maybe even some extra water as well. And then any extra clothes. If it rains, you might get wet, and that can actually give you hypothermia if you're out too long and you're in wet clothes. So it doesn't help or doesn't hurt to bring a change of clothes. And my 11th essential is actually, I never hike without my dog. He always alerts me when, you know, something's out there. So I never have to rely on my own ears. So I may not hike completely alone, but it helps to have, you know, your four-legged companion with you.
What kind of dog?
But any unknowns that you can eliminate from your trip, it's going to make you feel better. You're going to worry about less, and it's just going to make the whole experience better for you.
What kind of dog goes along with you?
He is a little husky mix.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, I figured it wasn't a Chihuahua or, you know, something like that, Pekingese or anything like that. But
he's a big dog. He carries his own supplies with him in his little backpack and keeps me safe.
Well, that's good. We have a question here from Kit. It says, while it isn't the case that individuals often encounter bears in the wild in Pennsylvania, encounters with a female bear with cubs have a dubious encounter, especially when alone. Can you recommend a strategy if this should happen? Is bear spray an effective deterrent? I mean, have you had that experience? Are you prepared for that?
I have run across bears in my hiking experience, never by myself, actually, but it is a really scary thing, especially when you run into a mother with cubs. But you want to, you know, not approach them. Obviously, you don't want to go near them. You just want to kind of leave them alone. And I do always carry bear spray in the event that there is a bear. That's a good deterrent if they were to come close to you. But I mean, that's a last resort. And also on the topic of bear spray, that is kind of also helpful if you run into somebody, a person that is a little intimidating, just to have that in your back pocket to know it's there. I wouldn't recommend using it on somebody unless it's the last resort, but that's always there for my protection as well.
Mm. Another tip that I know that you have imparted to people is about sharing your itinerary. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you go out and you plan this adventure, you want to make sure that you're leaving that with a trusted individual, somebody who maybe lives with you or close to you that can check on you and make sure you're getting back in time. Do not post it on social media. Nobody needs to know that you're out there by yourself. That's probably the worst thing you can do. So don't do that. And it also would help to leave your itinerary in your car as well. So if a ranger comes upon your car and it sits there for a while, maybe they can investigate that. And if somebody were to see that, they would know where to look for you in the event of something were to happen to you.
So where recently have you been hiking?
My go-to is up in Glitzen State Forest. That's the closest place to me. So that's kind of where I am found most of the time. I just got back from a big trip on the Grand Canyon. I was not alone on that, though. I did have seven other people with me, but I had confidence in my skills, so I knew that I would be able to take care of myself and others if I needed to as well.
Talk about that if you would, because having been to the Grand Canyon, always thought about that that would be quite a hike.
Well, I didn't actually do it on foot. I did the whole 280 miles of the Colorado River that goes through there. So I didn't have to worry about the supplies I was taking with me. They were all on big rafts. It was a really epic journey, though.
In what way? I mean, whitewater rafting. I mean, 280 miles. How long did that take?
It took 18 days. Yeah, there were 3 rafts and 5 kayaks. So we had a big group going with us. But yeah, it took 18 days all by ourselves. I don't know if anyone's ever been to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, but there's nothing there. There is Phantom Ranch part of the way through the trip, but it's still very remote that you can mail things from there, but they're all delivered by mule.
Well, I mean, is that a trip of a lifetime, or is it something that you've dreamed about, or just what?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a trip of a lifetime. My husband and I actually did that for our honeymoon, and it's been on both of our bucket lists forever. We've been whitewater fanatics, so it was really great to have that experience with him and a few of our friends.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun and a lot of great memories as well. Amanda Galvin, she's an outreach specialist with REI Co-op. That's an outdoor recreational equipment supplier and a hiker. And hopefully you got some information today if you decide to hike on your own, that some information that you can use. Ms. Galvin, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a great day.